Meet Planner team collaboration built on the Microsoft Graph. I'm Dave Heller. I'm the product marketing manager out of the PMG in Redmond. I'm very happy to have you here today. It's an interesting venue for me. I think as a bald guy, it's our dream to have people above with light shining off my scalp. I think it's technically like a celestial event if it gets the right angle. It's really cool. I'm really glad that you're here with me today. So really quick, I want to do sort of a little bit of a bio about myself with Microsoft. So I used to be a project seller in Denver for EPG accounts. And part of what brought me into that role is a passion I have for understanding how companies manage their work, manage their projects, manage their portfolios. And during the course of my work as a project seller, Planner kind of came into being with Microsoft, and I started demoing it in front of all of my customers, understanding there's kind of this need and pain point for some end users that really aren't plugged into the portfolio or plugged into major capital projects to still manage the work they're doing. And it was really then where I was like, you know, Planner's potentially going to be something great, and I would love to be a part of it, and I was fortunate enough to be able to move into the role I'm in now to really work on sort of the Planner development, not literal development, but in terms of what customers want us to build into it, and then working with customers and listening to sort of how their experiences have been so far. So it's been a good ride so far, and I also hope that you'll give me input if you've been using Planner as well. Always feel free to reach out. So today, we don't have microphones around, so I don't think we can do great Q&A before I finish, but that said, if a question pops up, I'd like you to tweet it to me during the session. It's at Dave E. Heller, hashtag MSAU Ignite. And at the end of the session, I'll get to that. I'll open up Twitter, see who the questions are, and obviously open up the floor as well. So my assumption is there's three types of users or of people in the room right now. The first being people that have never heard of Planner, have no idea what it is. The second being people that have maybe clicked on the Planner tile or have heard of Planner but really haven't used it much or don't have great depth of use. And then third, I think we have people that are using Planner and they want to use more of it. They want to better incorporate some of the processes they're doing in Planner. But maybe there's some features they're looking for, curious about the roadmap, or curious about change management, things like that. So my goal by the end of the session is that for all three groups of people, you'll have a really strong understanding of what Planner is, how you can use it, and what's coming in the roadmap and how we plan to move forward with Planner in the next 6-12 months. So first I want to dive into kind of why Planner exists. 30% of managers say the biggest challenge to executing strategy is the failure to coordinate across units. 62% of employees work from multiple locations in a month, and 1.8 hours are spent every day by the average employee searching for and gathering information. So all these things together make a pretty demonstrable need for a tool that helps people work from anywhere, helps them coordinate pretty effortlessly, and then also have structure and visibility into the work they're doing, so they know that all the work they're doing lives in one place. So Microsoft takes this need, and we thought, how can we build something that helps people get organized quickly, and how can we build something that helps people work together effortlessly, and ultimately, how can we enable our users to achieve more in this space? So if we take a step back to yesteryear, and look at the work and project management ecosystem at Microsoft, you have, at both ends of the spectrum, pretty mature solutions. You've got Project, Microsoft PPM. It's a very robust, it's great software, but it has quite some depth to it, and it's not for everybody in terms of end users. Then on the other end of the spectrum, we have items like Outlook Tasks or Wunderlist for individual task management people to manage what's going on with them, what's going on with them now. But then in the middle, you kind of have this open space, or we have this open space of task management or work management for teams of people where their projects might not roll up to a greater portfolio or be part of a larger project, but they still wanted to manage the work they're doing, they still wanted to have visibility into the work they're doing, still wanted to have accountability into the work they're doing. So we developed and shipped Planner to try and accommodate this need. So for us, our simplicity is our guiding principle, and we really wanted to create something that was simple and visual as a way to organize their teamwork. And we hope this is something that every team can use. It's so open-ended, let's say, that you know my impression is that you can find a way to configure Planner to accommodate what you're doing today. Excuse me. And so with this simplicity, we hope that we're able to enable our users to better work together, you know, without any effort. My hope is that if we can't do this today, that tomorrow we'll be able to have people open up Planner for the first time and not have this learning curve and not get dissuaded out of it to understand, okay, this is how I use Planner, this is how I can incorporate what I'm doing today in Planner with my colleagues. And I really don't want there to be a situation where people think, you know, I've got to learn another tool. When I was a project seller, I had a VP at one company tell me that the day that he had to learn a new project management solution would be the worst day of his life, which is a little bit dramatic, but I think there is something to be said for not needing to really take a lot of time to learn. And if anyone here is in, you know, end-user computing or any kind of change management, the less people have to learn, I think there's probably an inverse relationship with how likely they are to adopt it. So that's something that, again, I hope that we're able to embody in Planner. So Planner is an Office 365 core app. And what this means is two things. First, it comes with Office 365 at no incremental cost. It comes in the enterprise plans, and our commercial SKUs, in addition to our EDU SKUs and some nonprofit. It's not available for consumer quite yet. That's subject to change in kind of the long term, but not anytime soon. But it's something, again, it's no incremental cost in Office 365, but it's also tied into Office 365 Groups, which is a service that just generates a lot of shared team assets within Office 365, so that when you want to collaborate with the people that you work with, you don't have to do one-off Outlook, one-off Planner, one-off Yammer. You can have all these things together really with one click of a button. It's a really powerful service that Microsoft has. I'll tease my colleague Christoph's session after mine, I think in the room next door for Office 365 Groups administration. So I highly recommend to go there to learn a little more about Groups. But for Planner, it's something where you have all these shared team assets around the solution you use to manage your work. And so it creates a kind of synergistic effect of being able to collaborate. And then lastly, as a part of Office 365, you know, it comes with pretty stringent compliance standards that are something that differentiates us from some of the competition, where you know the collaborative work management space where Planner lives has a number of solutions, but there aren't a number of solutions that can, again, out of the box, be as compliant as we are. So we shipped Planner, we GA'd in June of last year, and we had really encouraging feedback. You know, I think from what I've heard from customers, the feedback is usually quite positive. And then it's like, I love Planner, we're using it all the time, I can't wait for this to come. You know, I can't wait for you to develop this feature next. And that's something that I really appreciate, because it's really how we're developing the features to come out. We're not really sticking to what we think is great. We listen to the customers and think, does this fit our guideline, our guiding principle of keeping things simple, while still delivering the best value to our customers? So I'm really encouraged by the feedback so far. You'll see here TechCrunch noted how easy it was to use. That's something that we wanted to accomplish. Lifehacker talked about the integration, which again is a huge differentiator for us. And then lastly, we had a customer, it was first release, international accounting firm, talk about how Planner made their meetings more productive because the work had already been kind of created and assigned and statused before the meeting started. So if you think about your weekly status meetings, how much time is spent of people just going over where they are with the work they're doing? It can be pretty abundant. So this is a tool where these folks do that work before the meeting, and then when they're in the meeting, they can just rock and roll. So that all having been said, I'd love to do the first demo, which I hope will illustrate what Planner is. Beautiful. Okay, so right here you see office.com. Here are all my Office 365 tiles. Click on Planner, and this will take me to the Planner Hub. So what the Planner Hub is where all of my plans live. And what you see here is we have two where we can view the status of all the work that's happening in these plans, and that's because I've favorited them. You can see down here, I can click on Add to Favorites, and it'll populate and let me see all the work that's going on. The plans below my favorited plans are kind of demoted for one of two reasons. First, it's just not relevant to what I'm doing this week. I don't want to clutter up the view of the work that is important to me. And second, it might be that in the Office 365 groups experience, there are groups of people that wanted to use groups for communicating on email, and they haven't used Planner yet. But as part of these shared team assets, it gets spun up anyways. So when the time comes to work together with a plan, it's already there for you. You don't have to create a new plan. So the scenario I'm going to walk through today in terms of just getting started is going to be with a group of people that started a group as just an email conversation. And it's for the Contoso Rugby League. It's an intramural league at a make-believe enterprise. And so the backstory here is we have four members. We have Alex, Henrietta, Isaiah, and Megan. They've been really interested in starting this intramural rugby league. They've been communicating back and forth on email, and now the time has come that they really want to get serious and actually plan what they need to do in order to get this league started. As you'll see, it says enter a name to add a member. They can add anyone they want within the organization, within Azure Active Directory to join the plan as well. That's only one way to add members to the plan. So what you see here is the Planner board, and it's the heart and soul of Planner. It's where you create and organize your tasks. So you see here it says to-do, and then it says add new bucket. This helps us categorize the work, but first let's look at some of the to-dos that might be associated with creating a league. So we want to recruit coaches and hire referees, reserve fields, and then do demand gen to actually have people who want to play. So right now we have four tasks, and it seems as though each of them might require a little more work related to them. So instead of having them as just to-dos, I want to add new buckets that are related to these tasks, and we can build upon them a little later. So for demand gen, let's just say this is for players, and then this is, say, for coaches. And then lastly, let's just say administration. So I've created these buckets, and now I'm going to drag these tasks over. Everything in Planner is drag and droppable, and it's something that not only does it help us understand how to organize work under the categories, but I'll show you in a second how you can rearrange the views to status the work and also assign it. And lastly, let's say coach recruitment goes in there. So right now it says group by buckets. We have three views. So we have buckets, we have assignment, and we have progress. First, let's assign the work. So Megan's the only person here, but since I want to add Alex, I've added his name just by dragging his head over, and then Henrietta can do demand gen, and Isaiah can do that, and I'll assign myself to hire referees. So right now I've done this sort of high-level assignment, but that said, maybe Alex says, I don't want to do anything. So I move his tasks over, and then Henrietta says, I don't want to do anything either. And all of a sudden, Megan has all the tasks. You can drag and drop these across to reassign. Similarly, if I go to progress, we have kind of a three-tier way of updating progress. Tasks can either be not started, in progress, or completed. Again, this is sort of like a very open-ended scenario for rugby league. But if you think about how you status work, if you just create all the tasks you need to have done, and then you think about going through a meeting with your team, saying, all right, where does this stand? and say, all right, that's in progress. This got completed. It's in progress. You can status work very quickly. And then maybe Megan says, you know what? I didn't do that. You can send it right back to where it came from. So everything is, again, it's highly configurable, very open-ended, easy to use. So something else you'll see, and I'll go back to the assignment view here. All right, completed the task. That's fine. Something else we'll see here. Let me dive into the task before I go to the some of the other visuals. So in the task, and this is for reserve fields, you're able to switch what bucket it's in. So right now I want this in administration. We can update the progress, do a start date, have a due date. So maybe I want this due next week. Then you can add checklist items. So this is reserve fields. You just say, call the manager, get the permit, and then let's say liability waiver. So I have this checklist to kind of act as subtasks within the task, but that said, they are not involved at the same level of detail that you can get in the actual task. And so here, you see the box of show on card. So I'll click on that and close the task. And you'll see in here that it shows up on the card, and I can check these off from the card. Let me go back in. We can also type a description of the file, attach a file, and for attachments, if you attach a file locally, it automatically uploads to the SharePoint site that's associated with the group. And you can also attach links as well, but it's something where any files that live in Planner are going to live in the SharePoint site for that whole group. So that's something that you can access separately if you need to, but it surfaces in Planner, and I'll talk a little bit about how that process works later. And then lastly, down here we have the conversation board, and this is something that directly syncs up with Outlook. So I'll type this sends to Outlook and post, and this is a conversation that will go into the comment that will go into the conversation board in Outlook. So we can start the conversation here in the task. I can continue it on my mobile device from Outlook, and the communication will populate right back in the task. So that's something that really speaks to the power of Office 365 groups. On the right, you'll see we have these color-coded tabs or labels, and there's six configurable tabs. What this is meant to do is create a visual cue for the task. And so there's a number of different ways I've seen people configure these. I usually say that you can use this as a way to indicate if something's at risk or on track, or maybe you want to have the attention of a certain group that's invited into the plan. So I can just say attention legal and flag it. When I sign out, you'll see the little red tab there. So anytime that person comes into the plan, they'll be able to see which tasks they'd be looking at to sort of have higher visibility. I'll go back here. So another really integral feature of Planner is the charts page. And what this page is just a high-level view of all the work that's being done in my plan. I didn't do a great job of indicating how these things can differ, so what I'm going to do is have this task be late. Okay, so Megan's task is late, and let's say that's complete. So on the left, you'll see that there's this color coding to indicate the status of the tasks. And when you roll your cursor over and click on the red, it'll let me know which tasks are late, so I can very quickly understand what work do I want to focus on and what work is tracking well. So it's something that's another way to visualize the work you're doing. And again, you have all the functionality and features of the board view within the task, so you can reassign it, add any kind of comments or conversations. Another part of Office 365 Groups is you have a team OneNote, which is this notebook link. I'll click on here, and you'll see that we have the conversation board, which lives in Outlook, the calendar, just memberships, the SharePoint site, again, the OneNote. And then you'll see down here it says subscribe to email updates. I get a lot of questions about notifications. Right now we have a little bit of a binary notification process where you either get all notifications from the plan or you get very few. It's something that we're working on creating a better experience. But I also get questions about how do I get these updates. So first is you want to subscribe, and then second is if you're the person who created the plan, you can click send notifications about task assignment and task completion to the plan conversation feed. And I'll click save there. And just so I open up the conversation box so you can have a look what that experience is like, you will see that the comment that I had earlier on the task, the sends to Alec, is right there. And I can reply back and just say, you know, this goes to Planner. So that is the high-level rundown of Planner, kind of a 30,000-foot view. The one other page I'd like to highlight is my tasks page, where it's the view of all the work that you have assigned to you from all tasks. As you can imagine, I don't want to have to go into every one of my plans to understand where my tasks are coming from. And so this is the view where I can understand what's been assigned to me and, you know, status tasks right there. Or I can also group it by the plan to understand where they're coming from. Great. So I mentioned Office 365 groups a bunch of times. Can I see a quick show of hands of who's really not familiar with groups? Okay, about half. Great. Again, I encourage you to go to the session after mine in the room next door where you can really take a deep dive. But what this is it's a collection of applications. You can see them on the screen that are all linked together through this service so that within Azure Active Directory, you can create groups of people and work in each of these workloads with all the files and most of the conversations syncing together. So it's not like you have all these disparate applications that you have to work in and kind of struggle to find your work. It's all linked together. And what you'll see on the right is one of the new additions to Office 365 groups. Yeah, that's on the right. Microsoft Teams, which is something I'll demo a little bit later, but that is Microsoft's chat-based workspace for persistent chat and also productivity within the Teams experience. It's a really, really neat new thing, and again, I'll demo that in a little bit. So what Groups is again, it's a service that helps connect all of these workloads together so that you don't have to go from one thing to one place to another place to find the work you're doing. And you saw a little Planner movement there. So Planner and Groups Management. So for Planner by itself, you're able to control, as an admin, you're able to control the tile just through the admin portal in terms of whether that's visible to your users or not. You're also able to actually disable plan creation or disable planner access through PowerShell in case you really want to have that kind of granular approach to how to manage users. We have group creation permissions. I'm going to defer to the next session with Christoph, who's going to really take an hour talking about some of the administration of groups. But suffice it to say, you can restrict group creation, but that restricts all of those workloads and groups. So if you turn off groups, you really aren't able to leverage any of the value that you saw on the last slide. Things that are in progress for us are naming conventions. So this is something that's important for EDU, where students sometimes come up with inappropriate names, and we want to avoid that. But there's also a desire for some of our enterprise customers to have sort of prefixes or suffixes on their groups to better control naming. And then lastly, we're working on kind of additional admin controls for usage guidelines and data classification. So the Microsoft Graph API is really the substrate for all of these group services where you're able to extend any of the applications that live in groups to your application or your add-in through the Graph API, which you can access through the Graph website. I don't know if there's a session on it. I don't have gigantic technical depth being a mere marketer, but suffice it to say, everything you see in Planner with the shared team assets, Planner it connects all those through the Graph. So it connects to Alloc through the Graph, connects to OneNote through the Graph. You can access, currently in beta, but you can access Planner data through the Graph and extend it out into whatever app or add-in that you'd like to build. And that's something that in terms of our API, we're looking to GA in April. So I'd say come April, and some of you can certainly work with now, and there's some sample code that I can direct you to if you come ask me later. But come April, it'll be our V1 in GA, and it'll have some pretty interesting extensibility opportunities. So I'm going to dive back into my demo environment and talk a little bit more about use cases, because I understand that there aren't many rugby leagues represented here today. Great. So let me go back to my hub. And I have three, just let me close out of the sub. I have three different examples of situations where I've seen customers configure their board, and I'll come from the hub so you can kind of see exactly how I'm navigating here. So I'll start with an IT department of a relatively small company. And what they have here is just like a very rudimentary, basic way of tracking the work that is coming in, that they triage between sort of high, medium, low priority, things that they put in the backlog, and then what they need to do today or what they're doing today. And I think the first wave of users for Planner that I spoke to were IT people that wanted to have just a lighter weight version of what they're doing for either ITSM or different kinds of work management. And what I generally say is, you know, Planner is not meant to be this gigantic ticketing system. But if it fits what you do today, you can certainly track the work you're doing in a very similar kind of way. It's just a little bit of a lookout to assume that, you know, because Planner has Kanban-style task management, that you can do a lot of the ITSM and different kinds of, like, dev work that you see in other solutions like Visual Studio. So this is an example for an IT department. Another really interesting one for me is a telemedicine scenario. Click in here. So what this customer does is, it's a radiology, a company that does telemedicine through radiology. So a patient will see a doctor and then go to a sort of an outpatient facility for imaging. And once they're at that facility, everything is satellite. So the image is taken in one place, the file sent to another place, which is then sent to another place. Eventually it's centralized, right? And then it goes back out towards the physician. But what they use for their planner buckets are places in the process. So they drag tasks or their cards across that represent patients and the patient files or patient information. They drag them across to understand exactly where the file is today. Because before, what they were doing is just assuming that the process will take care of itself, but whenever they had the question of like, hey, where's it sitting, all of a sudden it's a game of telephone. And so for them, this was just a way to create visibility into the work they're doing. And really, I mean, they can certainly leverage the value of groups, but for them, the big pain point was just understanding where things are. Because, you know, there's examples for healthcare. There's certain solutions that already exist for managing patients, but it's more understanding where it is today. And then lastly is a different example from just a marketing department that does event planning. And what they need to do is create better granularity through all the tasks they have to do for their event, better granularity to understand what's tracking well, what's at risk, what's blocked, and also having general to-dos. So sometimes people ask, like, you know, I really like Planner, but I wish there was a better way to do percentage of work complete, or I wish there was a better way to do, more granular levels of status within the task. And what I say is, very often, by design, we don't want to bulk up what you can do in Planner in terms of what's in the task, but it should be configured however, you know, best fits your business. So this is one way that I see a company be able to add better granularity into the status of their work without actually needing Planner to be, have additional features or to be different. Okay. Cool. So I'm going to talk about the roadmap a bit here. This is not an exhaustive list that I'm going over, and I imagine that there's a handful of questions regarding what's to come. So if I don't say what you're asking about, please ask, because there's a very good chance that I'll have an answer. So first, I want to plug the Planner User Voice site. The Planner team is doing something that is relatively unique for Microsoft, which is, you know, we released Planner, and we wanted to be sure that it was a well-performing application. But in terms of the features that were coming, we had some decent guesses, right? And we understood where we wanted to go, but we heavily rely on our user voice site to understand what are the most critical features that we need to incorporate in the Planner. And so what you see up here is a screenshot from, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago about the features that have been requested and how much they've been upvoted, and I highlighted the top ideas. And you can see the very top one is assign tasks to multiple users, and I'll get that on the next slide, but that's the next feature that's coming, and it's coming within the next month. So hopefully this can illustrate that this is something we really take seriously, and we want to develop a product that our customers want in lieu of doing any kind of guesswork. So I encourage you to certainly go to User Voice, and also encourage your colleagues to go as well if there's a feature that would really make a difference for you. So this is a high-level view of some of the greatest hits that we expect to come in the next 6 or 10 months. Getting started. Multiple user assign, which I just spoke to. It's pretty self-explanatory, and you're able to assign, you know, multiple people to a task. They can all complete the task. They will all view that task in their My Tasks page. So that's something that is pretty self-explanatory, but again, we've had a lot of requests for it, and we want to get that out the door within the next month. Another really major feature that I expect to come, I would say, in the next 2 months, is guest access or external user access. And what this does is you can invite someone outside of Office 365, not only your tenant, but outside of any tenant. You give them, they'll have basically a unique user ID, and they'll be able to access the plan and the group experience where you have a little indicator in the plan that it's a private group with guests. But it's something where you have full administration of what they're able to do, but they will be able to participate in the plan and have a meaningful experience. So, I mean, maybe some of you have vendors that you bring in for a very short period of time and you want them to participate. I think this is a really great solution for those use cases. Mobile apps. This is a really big one that we hear about pretty frequently. And we're targeting the end of June for native apps across platforms. We're developing an app that is full-featured, so it's not pared down to any extent. And sort of the one item in the critical path of getting this out the door is the API GAing. So once we get there, it's probably a two-month lead time until we're able to get the mobile apps out the door. So this is something that, again, I hear a lot. I think that this will enable our users far better to work on their plans and their tasks from anywhere. Teams integration. So I spoke to Teams about Teams a little bit ago. Can I see one more show of hands who has seen Teams before? Okay, wow, good number of you, cool. So Teams went into preview, it's not GA'd yet, and in preview it has an integration with Planner that is not to the level of depth that it's going to ship with in GA. So right now you're able to see the tasks you're assigned in Teams in the web app for Planner, and you're able, when you create a team, to bring in a plan that exists in Planner. You can work on that in Teams, but we ultimately want to have just like a full bi-directional integration where your Teams plans will go into your Planner web app back and forth and also have diff sync between them. And I wanted to take some time to go into a demo of what that experience looks like. Cool. So up here, I've opened up the Teams web app. There's also the desktop client, but for today's purposes, I will use the web app. So what I've done is the IT department example that we saw right here, I created a team where you can see in here, we have the general space to have our conversations, persistent chat. Here's our SharePoint site. And what I did was, you'll see the plus sign here, add a tab. I clicked on Planner, and then created and just populated all the tasks over. And you'll see on the right here, I think the most powerful part in regards to Planner, the most powerful part in Teams is the ability to have this chat window on the right, right next to the plan. So not only can you collaborate on the work you're doing, but, you know, let's say I see vendor access to data, that task is in progress, but maybe it's more critical than we previously thought it was, and so I can at mention Alex and say, you know, hey, and then Alex gets a notification of that. So I think the ability to chat right next to the plan is something that, again, it creates a new level of depth to the planner experience that I find really valuable. So what I'll do is show you what the team creation looks like in terms of bringing in what you've already created. And so it says, I clicked Create Team down here, and it says Create Your Team. But it also says Add Microsoft Teams to an existing Office 365 group. That's what I want to do. I want my rugby league to have persistent chat, so I'll choose that. So it will spin this team up, and what that does is it gives us a just an open board for conversation. But I want my planner file to be a part of that, so I'll click on the planner tab, and I want to click on use an existing plan, just a rugby league, save, and there's plan that I had just created a little bit ago. So you can play your plans right into Teams and have a conversation on the right. There is one other new thing to note, which is I'll go back to the IT department, and so on the general channel here, and you'll see I can add channels for just sort of different topical matters within IT, that I have the plan that I created for the IT department. But let's say there's a specific group, again, in end user computing. I can create a separate plan for them right here, where it's still associated with that team, but it's not part of that part of the plan that was that we brought in. And so, what this effectively is the ability to create multiple plans per group or per team, which is only available right now in Teams. I'll speak to it in a second about when it's going to come for the rest of the web app. But it really changes some of the hygiene of how I recommend people use Planner, in the sense of with the web app, we have a one-to-one relationship where you start a group, and then you have one plan associated with it. And so people will say, okay, I have my one plan. I have a project I'm doing. I want to start a plan for my one project, but then all of a sudden I have 100 plans, and it's not sustainable. So what I generally advise today is when you have a group of people, a singular group of people that you work with, those are a group of people that you should have one plan around, and then you can categorize your work within it. So if you have projects, your projects can be a bucket. But with multiple plans, I kind of change my tune and say, yeah, with multiple plans, you can really have an open and close, start a plan that's associated with some kind of project, and close it out once it's done, and have more of a churn within the same group of people, just to have another layer of organization and visibility into what's going on. Right. And there's the, again, the multiple plans per group. This is going to ship, I anticipate, probably in H2 of the calendar year. Again, it's available in Teams now, and with the full integration, I think if this is critical for your business, I just couldn't encourage you more to start working with Planner in Teams. One thing we didn't see in Teams is the charts page. That's something that's a little bit farther down the road, but also something that we think about. So, that having been said, I want to take us into the Q&A, AMA, and I can open my Twitter just to see if there's been any action there, and I've got a few. Cool. I have a lot of people remarking on my baldness. Yeah? Okie dokie. Okay, how does Planner compare to Trello? Can I invite non-365 users to join? So with the non-365 users, that's the external user access that I spoke to earlier, so we hope to be able to accomplish that in the next 2 months. How does it compare to Trello? I think the way I pitch Planner's differentiation is really the first-party integration with Office 365 and the fact that it's part of Office 365. There's no incremental cost there. So I don't really get into the kind of like feature-by-feature comparison. I focus a lot more on, how can we best deliver to our customers as a part of Office 365. And so I understand that there's some features that Trello has that we don't. There's some things that we do that Trello doesn't. I don't know if there's ever going to be a day where it's going to be the exact same, but I certainly think that we have strong differentiation in the fact that we're first party at no incremental cost with Office 365.
We have one that says, is it possible to configure or add new status items, e.g. blocked?
I think that's part of the plan I saw. So that was from Tam. Is Tam here? Okay. So is the next demo address that? Cool. How can Planner adoption be improved for Outlook email task fanatics, email/task fanatics, where reluctance has been due to complexity? That's from Paul. Where are you, Paul? Oh, right here, perfect. So is the question more about like how can Planner and Outlook tasks play nice with each other or integrate?
Yes, and you addressed part of it on the roadmap for the calendar access as well.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, the calendar part we are working on. With the task integration, it's what I would anticipate, and a story that we want to be able to tell that I don't think we can do today quite yet, is to be able to have a task that is, just hypothetically, that's created in Project Online as part of a portfolio project, and have that task be able to flow all the way down to the individual task management tool. So whether that's Outlook tasks or something else, we want to have a more cohesive story of where tasks can live. So Planner is certainly a part of that, and I don't view Planner ultimately as that individual tool. And so what I hope we'll be able to do, let's say like a year from today, is come back next year and show how Planner can populate the individual's task system. So that's the hope.
Okay, hi Dave, it's Eric from AppPoint. Will Planner tie into SharePoint workflows such as approval tasks?
So there's kind of two-part answer there. The first part of the answer is, I think with the new API, you're able to extend Planner in ways that would replicate kind of what you're talking about in terms of SharePoint workflows. But I also think my previous answer also can address a little bit of the pain points I see with SharePoint tasks, of having those tasks flow back and forth between interfaces. And so hopefully we'll be able to have all these tasks just funnel into the same place and flow back from where they came. Oh, Planner templates. Good question. That's one we're developing. So this is going to be more towards like Q3 or Q4 of the calendar year. But what we want to do with templates is instead of creating like in Word or Excel where you open it up and it says like, do you want to create one of these, one of those, or writing a letter? What we want to do is be able to have people copy a plan and basically copy and paste it. So that's how we're gonna try and ship templatization. We have a number of customers that say, yeah, we do the same thing all the time. I don't want to have to recreate my plan every single time I do that. And so we hear you, and that's something that we do want to develop, and it's going to be a copy-paste functionality in all likelihood. Will the API launch open up Planner to tools like Flow, Power BI, etc.? Yes. So our V1 GA in April is going to be best targeted towards things like Flow. So you'll see a lot more development in that space then. We're going to do a V2 launch later in the year. It's not quite targeted yet, but the V2 launch will be strictly geared towards reporting, so you can surface Planner information in places like Power BI.
And then we have, you can't turn Planner off in E5, however you can in E3. Is this on purpose? This is from David. David, are you right here? So I have not heard that before, or I've never seen that before, of not being able to turn it off in E5. What's the behavior? Yeah. Say the first sentence again, I couldn't hear so well. What was the first sentence you said? I missed that. And that's specific to E5 and 93?
Yeah.
I'll have to follow up with you on that one. I've not heard that before. It's a good question. How can I get a planner shirt? Great question. Come see me at the Office 365 booth on the floor, expo floor, tomorrow. There's very limited supply left, so it's. I'll make sure to save some for people that attended the session. But yeah, no, we have very cool kind of dark gray planner shirts. I was hoping everyone was wearing today, but I guess there's a lot of shirts here, so couldn't get that done. Can non-members of a plan view plan progress in a dashboard? So this is going to be more aligned towards that V2 of the API, where the dashboard that they'll be able to view a roll-up plan progress is going to be available. And that's from Telius. Cool. And so is that the idea, that you want to have plans roll up to kind of create something of a portfolio view? Yeah, so in terms of a portfolio view, I suspect that will most likely be left up to a third party to actually create. And the reason I say that is, you know, we have our kind of internal boundaries or strict boundaries of wanting to be in this work management space. And the second we start shipping stuff that looks a lot like project online, it kind of doesn't pass the smell test. And we certainly don't want to provide duplicative solutions. So I think on one hand, you'll be able to, like through the API, develop that. I also think if you connect it to project online, the task status flows up through portfolio level view. So there's a few different ways to accomplish that, just depending on the kind of work you're doing. But in terms of what we're going to develop first party, I would anticipate at some point seeing a planner go through project to create a portfolio level view before we do just planner straight to portfolio, I think. Cool. Well, that was all the questions on Twitter. I'd like to open up the floor as well. Were there any other questions around... there you go.
All attachments, where do you attach them? Where does it sit in SharePoint?
Where does it sit in SharePoint? So it's part of the... the question was, when you attach a file to a task, where does it sit in SharePoint? It sits in the SharePoint Teams Hour group site that's created... as part of the call, when you click start a plan, there's the call to just start a group, and part of that group is the new SharePoint site collection.
Can you easily configure any script to a particular site?
The short answer is no. The long answer is yes, but. So I would say go to Christoph's session next and ask him, and he'll have a long-winded and well-informed answer. Yeah, there he is. Cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you talk about Surge and integration with Galvan?
Surge and integration with...
Yeah, the Surge within Planner, and also the integration with Delve.
Yeah, so integration with Delve and Search within Planner. And is that Search as in, like, you want to, like, basically index tasks in Search? So we are working on the Search functionality. It's not available yet. That's something that I would expect to see probably later in the calendar year. And then with Delve, that's something where we want to work better, or work not better, work more with the Delve team once we get the API out the door. But in theory, it's absolutely something that's possible and frankly not that difficult at all. Any other hands? Any other questions I can help with?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
so the... So auditing as in, like, track which actions have happened?
Yeah, if you want to empower your team to move things around.
That's something that we're working on. It's not available today. In order to, then let's basically have just like a log of everything that's happened. Is that it, right? Yeah. That's something that we're working on. That, again, is the kind of thing that if we hear more people asking for it, it can certainly get prioritized, but I would say that's probably towards the end of the year, to being able to do. One thing I'll note, I don't know if we have any Gov customers or customers that work out of a special cloud, but we're only deployed in the commercial cloud right now, but in terms of any of the kind of exclusive clouds, and I don't know if people would use the GCC, GCC cloud, the government cloud, or any of the other ones, but we expect to deploy in those other clouds next calendar year. Very cool. Yeah, go ahead. Yep. Yeah, so there are questions about integration with Project. So there's first party, there's two integrations in the works. The first integration is with Project Desktop Client, the other integration is with Project Online. Eventually, we want it to be bidirectional. You know, we want that experience to be seamless. I don't know how long it'll take until we get there, but certainly the desire, and again, have that flow across the desktop and Project Online. That having been said, there are currently third parties that have built that integration, and that's using the API in beta. I suspect that when it's GA, you'll see more of it. But if I had to guess, I would say you'll see the third-party integration come before the first party, but first party, that's something that we are working on and we want to do. Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so that's something that we want to accomplish with the guest access, external user access, that we're going to ship in the next 2 months. So it doesn't matter where they're coming from. If they're invited, they'll get kind of a unique user ID and be able to participate. Cool. One thing I'll say, if there are no further questions, please feel free to stop by the booth and chat about kind of how you envision using Planner, how you'd like to use Planner, any kind of critical things you want to bring up. I have a few more. That's a weird man. A few more slides as reminders. First and foremost, so this morning we had the Teams group SharePoint Yammer. What do I use and when within Office 365 groups? These sessions are all recorded and they're all available to you. If you weren't able to attend, I highly recommend that you check the recording out. I think this is a very common question, and it's good to have a stronger grasp of really what do you use when and what are the things built for. After the session, I know I've plugged it quite a bit, we have the Office 365 groups session next door, and then tomorrow we have Connect Your Company with Yammer and deploying and governing Office 365 groups. Here are the links for those sessions. I would really sincerely appreciate your evaluation if you could do that through the website. And then lastly, if you do that, you potentially could win a Spark After Dark drone pilot pass. So, I very much appreciate you coming today, and please feel free to ask me any questions or come talk to me on the floor. Thank you.